Imagine you're on a John Deere mower with a smooth ride, intuitive controls, and attachments for every season. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Money with Monica. Monica, what is this behavioral side of the market?
You really cannot say that markets are fully efficient. We have inherent biases, and those biases prime us to make errors. One of the biggest biases that we have is something called loss aversion. We don't want to bring home a loss. We should not personalize. We should not get too attached to a fund or to a stock. You know, when you are in a herd, either you get trampled or you fall off a cliff.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Money with Monica. You know, what's interesting is that everybody always says the markets are efficient, but now we are suddenly seeing that the narrative has shifted and we're being told that they're actually not that efficient after all. There are behavioral aspects that affect the markets and therefore our investments. So Monica, what is this behavioral side of the markets?
Lajana, that really is a question which today is baffling all of us, because when we studied economics, it was all about the efficient market hypothesis and neoclassical economics, which is actually the bedrock of economic policy and regulation, looked at the world through the eyes of, they postulated a world where there were utility maximizing economic agents. So they weren't human beings, they are economic agents, and we all maximize utility. Right. And we take perfectly logical decisions. We combine all the information that there is to know. So this economic agent is the most rational, logical individual. Preps himself up and then takes the best decision. But real life is not like that. And it's taken decades for this branch of economics called behavioral economics, which is actually a mixture of psychology and econ, to say, no, real world is not like that. We actually make mistakes all the time. We prefer instant gratification to pushing things back. Look at health, look at money, look at retirement decisions. We don't take decisions which are rational or optimal. And this really is now informing a lot of regulation, a lot of economic policy, but it's still a fight to put across the point that, you know, you really cannot say that markets are fully efficient and economic agents are rational.
But what are the most common biases that we fall victim to without even knowing?
Right. So, and the way that behavioral economics tells us that, you know, we are making mistakes is it informs us that we have inherent biases, and those biases prime us to make errors. One of the biggest biases that we have is something called loss aversion, right, where we tend to attribute a far higher value to losses than we do to gains. Right. Okay, so this is, it means that we don't want to bring home a loss. Now look at what we do. If suppose you buy a pair of shoes and the shoes are a little tight and you can't return them, what do? Do you throw them away immediately? No. It goes at the back of the shoe rack.
Yeah.
There are food leftovers. What happens? We don't throw it away immediately. We push it at the back of the fridge. We do the same thing when we do investing. For instance, if there's a stock or a mutual fund that somebody has bought and it has lost value, investors will wait to recover the money till the point that they had made their investment.
Okay.
They don't want to bring home that loss. Which is why when somebody reads this disclaimer on mutual funds, that mutual funds are subject to market risk, etc., they get put off because they think it's a risk, I'll lose my money. The same person will go to a multi-level marketing scheme, will go to a ICO, initial coin offering, will lose half his money on traditional insurance products, not realizing that it's a huge capital loss, you know, once they get trapped. It helps us to be aware that there is this bias so that we can overcome that.
So from what I understand, behavioral biases sort of tie in with each other to mess with our heads. So this tendency that you just mentioned, it's linked to the next bias that you're going to tell me about, right?
Correct. Yes, it's really about personalization of events which have nothing to do with you. So if somebody makes a smart decision on, say, buying a particular stock or a mutual fund, you got into the real estate market just before that big boom, you tend to think that, you know, it's you're the smartest person on earth and it's really to do with you. Or on the other side, we get despondent and say that we're the unluckiest person in the whole world, because the minute I go to invest, the markets fall. Markets falling have nothing to do with one tiny, you know, 1 lakh rupee investment in a trillions of rupees market cap market. Your little 1 lakh has no role to play. It doesn't matter, really. So, you know, we should not personalize. We should not get too attached to a fund or to a stock, or believe that your birth star or your current birth configuration of stars have anything to do with the way that the market is going to behave.
Got it. Okay, so that brings us to the third bias that I think is something we've all been, either, you know, we've experienced in one way or the other, which is the herd mentality. We see that all the time in the markets, right?
Yeah, we all see it. And typically, right now, there is this big rush towards foreign mutual funds because the one-year CAGR is like 40% or something. 2017, it used to be all about mid-cap, small-cap funds because some of them have done, again, 40-50%. And then there is this whole rush, there's a flavor of the season and people rush towards that particular sector, that particular fund house or that part of the market because everybody seems to be rushing towards that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in a herd, either you get trampled or you fall off a cliff. So being part of a herd is not such a great idea simply because investing is such a personal decision. It is something so unique to your situation, your money, your goals, that if you're following the herd, you are definitely going to lose.
So on that note, we'll take a viewer question. And this is a question from Sunita, who's from Thane. She writes saying that she wants to invest in mutual funds, but she is totally confused on what to buy. There are so many options out there. So she finds it easier to just put her money in an FD or some gold, because that's easier, right?
Sunita, it's a really important question you're asking. We are frozen by choice. In fact, there is academic work, an Indian origin economist, Sheena Iyengar, in fact, has done seminal work in this space where she proves that choice beyond a certain number actually freezes people. So you don't want a monopoly, you don't want a duopoly, you want a few items of choice. But beyond that, unless you are helped, you are aided, you will simply go back into doing what you're familiar with, which is fixed deposit and gold. Exactly, Sunita, what you're doing. There are two ways to handle it. One, you can choose a fee for financial planner and help ask him or her to help you sort through the choices available. Second, if you want to do it yourself, then break your goals up into small, medium and long-term baskets. And then according to where, you know, how far from today your goal is, then you invest in products which are suitable for that tenure. The further away from today the goal is, the more equity you can put. The closer it is till today, the less equity you should be, completely in safe, liquid assets.
So that brings us to the end of this season of Money with Monica. And we hope that it's been a very informative journey for you, as much as we've enjoyed interacting with you through your letters and messages. And we will be back with another season soon. So if you want to have your questions answered, do keep writing into us at moneywithmonica@lifewin.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.